is our fourth week on the topic, Thy Kingdom Come. And we've covered quite a bit this month, and next week we'll start a new topic. But Jesus told his disciples when they asked him to teach us to pray, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. So all this month we've been studying about the kingdom of God, and we're to the last part of it. We started out with how the kingdom was lost through disobedience. And then we went into the fact that because of that, there are now three kingdoms. And last week we talked about how the kingdom can be now present with us. Amen. And today we're going to talk about the establishment of that third kingdom. When Jesus finally takes full control of this planet. I can't wait for that, actually. My goodness. Amen. I cannot wait for that to happen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this world and its mess. Amen. Tired of this world and all its mess. So if I start thinking about that, I start to smile. Because I can think of all the things I won't have to deal with. Car payment, mortgage, all those things will disappear. Amen, amen. So we're in the last part of this, the kingdom come. And my focus scripture for this week is from Revelation 12:10. I have so many favorite scriptures. I keep telling you, this is my favorite scripture. This is my favorite scripture. This one's my favorite scripture. But this one is also one of my favorite scriptures. Because it has that word. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. It said, And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, in heaven, now. Let's say now.
Yeah.
One day. The angel is going to say now. Can you think about that just for a moment? Can you think about that just for a moment? Revelation 21 verse 4 says, And God shall wipe away all tears. I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't cried this year. I've cried this year. I've been in some times when I said, Lord, you need to fix this. There is coming a day when the angel will say, Now, I could just meditate on that for the rest. Now, I remember one time when I was driving, I used to drive back and forth from Benton Harbor, and it's a good 2.5 hours. Sometimes it went to 4 hours, depending on Chicago traffic. And I remember one time I put on one song, and for the whole trip, that's all I had playing on repeat. I was just having church in my car. And the song actually was related to this verse. Now is come salvation. See, right now we're saved, but it's by faith. We don't see it yet. It's like in Hebrews, it says that all things are put under him, but we don't see it yet. It seems like we're just still waiting. And, you know, in Revelation, the souls that had already been martyred, they said, How long? How long, Lord? How long are we going to wait? My wife and I, we were watching this documentary on Moses, and it brought out the fact it was 400 years. And I forgot what you said. He said, why did it take so long? It said, then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. You know, but God has a perfect timing. There was a reason why God waited 400 years. I'm not going to get into it this morning, but he had a reason why he waited that long. There was a plan. God just doesn't do stuff. You know, I might be walking past a shop, or you may be walking past a shop, and you go, wow, I'm going to go buy that. God doesn't just come up with things like that. He does things with a plan, with a purpose. Amen. He has a purpose for everything that he does. It is not just a happenstance. We may do things impulsively. We may do things, but God has a plan. The Bible always says when the fullness of time was come. There is always a purpose and a plan in God's outlook. He's not doing it just on the whim. So there is coming a time when it says, now has come salvation. There is a perfect timing. It says, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I was talking to someone this week and they were feeling bad. And the reason why they were feeling bad is because there were some things that they had struggled with. And I said, don't let that paralyze you. Because that's Satan. He just wants to bring condemnation. He wants to make you feel bad. God already knows that we're not perfect. Right? If we could be perfect, then we wouldn't need him. But he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That is such a profound verse. That is so deep. So just to go over what we had covered, the fact that there were three kingdoms. Of course, the heaven of heavens, God's throne. In fact, in that very prayer, he says, our Father, which art in heaven. Then we have the earth, and then we have the grave. Of course, last week we talked about the fact that when Jesus died, he took all the righteous dead with him, at least their souls. It was not a full bodily resurrection, which is what we are waiting for. Jesus in Matthew 7:21 said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, that makes it plain that not everyone who goes to church necessarily is in the kingdom. And the saddest thing is that it seemed like some of them thought they were okay. They said, well, didn't we visit you in prison? Didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we have miracles? And he still said, I never knew you. So miracles and signs does not necessarily mean you have God's approval. Because Satan can do that too. He can do stuff too. Matthew 6:9, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's been our topic this whole month about his kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That one verse there tells us so much. Because when we have a hurricane or an earthquake or whatever or a flood, what do they call it? Act of God. Isn't that what they put down on the act? But what does this say? Thy will be done. Why would he teach them to pray that his will be done if it was already done? So what that tells us is that God's will is not done on earth. You think God is the one responsible for the murderer, for the rapist, for the child molester? No. James says that when sin is conceived, we're carried away by what? Our own lusts. No, God has given mankind free choice. You can choose to do right or you can choose to do wrong. But we are praying that one day his will be fulfilled on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So really there are three wills that are going on right now. Did you know that? There's God's will, my will, and Satan's will. There are three things, forces that are fighting. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men to us word count slackward, but is long-suffering. That's one of the reasons why it's taken so long. God is not willing that anyone be lost. He wants every single person who can to come to the knowledge of the truth. But that all should come to what? Repentance. Amen. 1 Timothy 2:3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. That's his will, but we know that he's not making you do it. You're going to have a choice. There's some people go before the judge and they said, the devil made me do it. they tell the judge, the devil made me do it. Well, I don't know about that, but I tell you what, we have choices, right? We have choices. It's like the GPS, right? You can ignore it. And as you keep ignoring, it tells you turn left, you turn right. You know what it's going to say? Recalculating. You're not going to offend the GPS. It's going to just say recalculating. It will try to get you back to where you're supposed to go. It'll just keep saying recalculating. But if you keep ignoring what it's telling you to do, you're going to end up further and further away from where you want to be. You see, What we have to do is to listen to God's will. He's not going to force us. He says, behold, I stand at the door and what? He doesn't break the door down. We have to be sensitive to God's voice. There have been many times when we want to do our own thing, we shut it off. Sometimes we don't even have a rationale of why we're doing what we're doing. Because we know if we start to really think about it, we'll have to change. That's why people don't want the truth sometimes, because it means they got to change, and they don't want to change. They want to keep doing what they are doing. Then we have the second kingdom, of course, which when Lucifer came to tempt Jesus, he told him, listen, if you will just bow down and worship me, all these things will I give to you. I kind of half believe that some people can sell their soul to the devil. They can trade certain success for doing anything and everything to get ahead. You know, they'll stand on your back to get a little bit higher. But there's coming a day when some of these prophecies, like in Isaiah 9:7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth. In Isaiah, the verse before that speaks about, unto us a child is born. Unto us what? A son is born. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. The same baby is also the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In Daniel, Daniel was given a prophecy, and it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what human kingdoms can only be so much. They can only do so much. But in so many ways, they fall short. You know why? Because at the top is a man. At the top is a woman. And because of that, there is going to be failure. There's going to be problems. There's going to be issues. But in the days to come, very shortly, Daniel 2:44 says, in those days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. See, and then we go into this period of 1,000 years that the Bible speaks of, called the millennium, where the prophecies that have been spoken of in so many places will become to be fulfilled. It says in Isaiah 65:25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bull. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. Satan still only eats dust. He still only eats dust, no matter what happens there. Amen. Then we have the last kingdom, the kingdom of the grave. Amen. And the Bible speaks about death as what? The last enemy. Romans 5:14, we quoted this scripture over these last 3 weeks. Nevertheless, death reigned. Although we didn't do exactly what Adam and Eve did, death still reigned. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude, or exactly like Adam, who is the figure of him that was to come. And then 1 Corinthians 15:26 is a scripture that we always read at the graveside. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know, it wasn't God's will for there to be death. But it was the only way he could give you a new body. As long as you're alive, where's your soul? It's in this old body. When you understand that death was for the reason for death was for the purpose of giving you a new body. Amen. The Bible in Romans 8:20 says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption of the body. The last part of this puzzle that we're waiting for now is a new body. I was cutting the grass yesterday, and I didn't tell my wife this, but I suddenly started to feel like a hip pain. I mean, where did that come from? I've never had hip pain. That's not happened before. Like, that's not right. That can't be happening to me. But as she probably didn't notice this, I was trying not to show her. I was limping as I was coming into the house a little bit, because I suddenly felt some, you know, like, that can't be right. I want my new body. I want that glorious Superman body that we've been promised. I don't know whenever you thought you looked your best, but whatever that age was, maybe it was 18. I don't know when is your best looking picture, but whenever that was, you're going to get a body that's even 10 times better than that. Amen. Because the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I taught the last few weeks about the fact that for the purposes of saving mankind, God had suspended some of his laws. He suspended the law of perfection. That's why we have this thing called entropy, where everything runs down. You buy a car and you take it out and you come back 2 days later and you try and sell it back. You think they'll give you the same price for it? No. It's already lost $2,000. And even if you took a brand new car and just put it in a garage, 30 years later you come back, it's all rusted out. The Bible speaks about the fact, and there's the song that we always sing, change and decay. In all around we see, but you who changeth not, abide with me. See, the whole universe now is running down. But there's coming a time when the Bible says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. See, he went down there the first time to take back the kingdom of the grave. And when he came up, he said what? All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Amen. You know what that means? That Satan now is a liar. He's a deceit. When he tells you he has power, he does not. The only power he has is if you believe him. Right? If you believe him. All power was given unto him. Amen. You know, we see that before Jesus came, Satan did have some power. He came to God and said, let me get on your man Job. Let me just touch him a little bit and we'll see. And the Lord said, he's already in your power. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Because of Adam's disobedience, the dominion had passed to Satan. Only his life is not yours. You know why? Because his soul comes from me. You can't touch his soul. I only decide when that happens. Put forth not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You see, he had power until Jesus came. But when Jesus arose in Matthew 2, he said, all power. He says, I have the keys now. Amen. I have the keys. Amen. Jesus then, as he was leaving us, though, told us, though, some things. These things have I spoken unto you that he might have peace. Like, if you know something, you're not surprised, right? What makes us worried is when we don't know what's going to happen. If you don't know what's going to happen, then you become anxious. You become fearful. But Jesus already warned us, listen, this is what's going to happen. In the world, you shall have tribulation. See, I know now, I've lived long enough to know now that when I'm in a peaceful, when things are going well, it's just a season. Don't get too relaxed, because I know the devil has gone away plotting and coming back mad because I'm in a nice, peaceful season. He's not going to be happy. Jesus already said, in this life, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Why is that? Why shall we have tribulation? No wrong answers. Come on now. Well, that's true. That's true. The Bible says that patience, when it says run its full course, right? It worketh a good thing, right? But the reason why we shall have tribulation, because Satan hates us. The only way he can hurt God, he can't hurt God. The only way he can hurt God is hurt his children. So as long as you're happy and rejoicing today, you know, tomorrow morning somebody, some situation is going to come to try and take away your peace, to take away your joy and just, you know, just ruin your day. What I'm trying to tell you is do not let them. Because I know one thing right now, if I said to you, under your seat there, I'm going to do an Oprah thing now. There's a check for $1 million, each of you. Now, tell me you're going to have a bad day the rest of the day. People could curse you out. You'd be saying, have a good day. Be blessed. I love you. Right? Because you know you have something that is so much more valuable and greater than whatever they're saying. And yet we do, but Satan has deceived us into not seeing it. The Bible says we have passed from death unto life. I'm a child of the King. The Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen. I really believe that. In fact, I've seen things happen to some people that I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please have mercy upon them. Please don't give them what they deserve. You know, you don't have to fight. You can be at rest. You can be at peace if you believe what the word says. Be of good cheer. Christians should be the most happiest, joyful people. You know, I'm going through a situation now, but you know, it's not going to last. God has got this. I'm in expectation for the kingdom to be realized. I'm in expectation for a miracle to happen. And all I can tell you, he's always come through for me. Always come through for me. I'd be too embarrassed to tell you all the times I messed up and God did a miracle and got me out of trouble. Where I deserved what I was getting. But his mercy and his grace, when I got down on my face and cried out to him, he delivered me. Amen. In this world, you shall have tribulation. I am absolutely sure, without asking for a show of hands, all of you right now have some tribulation. Some things that you're dealing with that are causing you, you know, some pain and some grief. Here's what the word says. Be of good cheer. But Lord, look at the situation. I don't know how it's going to be solved. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Smile. Turn to your neighbor right now. Smile. Smile at someone. Amen. Smile at someone. That's the word, isn't it? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And because of that, you can too. Not by ourselves. No way. No way. I'm a mess by myself. I'm a terrible person. I've told you that before. Without Jesus, I'm not any good. But with him, I can do all things right. I can overcome. Amen. Now, we said last week that while Jesus was on the earth, he was the kingdom of God. Luke 10:9. He told his disciples, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. And they didn't understand it. The Pharisees criticized him in Luke 11:20. But he was explaining. He says, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Imagine living in Jesus' time. Imagine that woman at the well. And the very creator of the universe is standing before her. And she took her a while to realize it. But after a while, she started to realize who this was. In fact, it's the first time, if you read it carefully, that Jesus reveals, says personally, who he is. Right? She says, we know that the Messiah is coming. And, you know, you guys, you Jews worship in Jerusalem. And we Samaritans worship in this mountain. And we know Messiah is going to come. You know what Jesus said? I am he. He revealed himself to the first time publicly to a Samaritan woman. And she recognized who he was. She ran. She didn't walk. The Bible says she ran back to her village and said, come and see a man who told me everything. This is the Messiah. And because of her witness, she got happy. Even though she was in a situation, you can tell she was in some kind of situation. Because Jesus told her, listen, you've had 5 husbands. The man you're with right now ain't your husband. She was in a situation, right? But it didn't matter. When Jesus comes into your situation, the kingdom comes right then. Thy kingdom come right now. That should be our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come into my situation tomorrow morning when I'm dealing with some stuff. Or when the bills come and I got the letter from the We Electric saying, you know, they're going to cut off this or the phone company. Lord, let your kingdom come now. Let me still be of good cheer. Why? Because you have overcome. I'm going to overcome. In fact, God's will can only be perfectly completed and fulfilled in one place. And that's in heaven or in you, if you let it. When Jesus was before Pilate and Pilate was trying to question him, he says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight and I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now here's that one three-letter word that's so important. But now, he was making a point of time. He was making a demarcation of time. He was saying, right now when I'm speaking to you, I'm not trying to fight right now. I didn't come this time to get this kingdom. I have another purpose why I came. Bible says, for this cause came I into the world. Why? So he could go to the cross. He came for the kingdom of the grave. So he told Pilate, but now is my kingdom not from hence. That was a little clue. That was a little hint. There's coming a time when that word now is said again, this time by the angel. Now has come salvation. Amen. So we are to pray that his kingdom comes. Isn't that what he taught his disciples? After this manner ought ye to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. When was the last time you prayed for his kingdom to come? Let me make a confession. When I was 18, I didn't want his kingdom to come quite yet. I had stuff I wanted to do. I wanted to achieve. I wanted to do this. You know, it took me a while for God to show that none of that matters. None of that matters. None of that. You could go out there tomorrow and a car could hit you. You could end up in a wheelchair. Then none of your plans that you had would matter. What is important is his kingdom. Pray that his kingdom comes. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Why should it matter that we pray? Why should we pray? Why should we pray that his kingdom comes? That's right. That's right. Right. The reason why we should pray is when we become sons of God, what do we get back? Dominion. That's what we get back. When, if you are a child of the king, don't you think the king's son has some power? The king's daughter has some power? They bow, and you ever seen the royalty? They bow and they have a troop. They have some. The reason why we should pray is that when God gives us back dominion, what does he want us to do? That's right. When we pray, we're returning that dominion to him. You know why? Because we're still not smart enough to make always the right decision. Leave it to me. I will always buy a lemon if I'm going car shopping. I will make the mistake. I'm going to have Brother Lando help me buy the right kind of vehicle here. See, God wants us in prayer to say, thy kingdom come. What's the next word that Jesus said in the garden? Thy will be done. Yes, we have been given dominion when we become children of God, but what Jesus really wants is for us to willingly say, Lord, you lead. You show me what to do. I told you how successful David was when he did what? And he inquired of the Lord. It's so many times in the Old Testament. It says, and David, before he went out to a battle, before he did anything, it says David inquired of the Lord. You know what he was doing? He says, Lord, I think I know what I want to do, but what's your will? Sometimes God would say go. Sometimes he would say wait. Sometimes he would say no. In either case, as long as you're following God's will, the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. See, Jesus gave us the example in the garden. He said, I don't want to do this. Who would want to be tortured and beaten and nailed to a cross? Nevertheless, I've said that's the greatest thing that any human being can say is nevertheless, not what I want, but thy will be done. If we ever got to the point where we could say that and truly mean it in every circumstance, imagine the power we would have. Because Satan couldn't fight with us because it's not my will. It's what God wants. That's what he told Satan. He said, listen, the devil, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath what? Nothing in me. Because I only do the will of the Father. Right? It's when we do our own will that he can start to get us. He can whisper into our ear and say, you know what? This looks much better over here. Or you should do this. Or you should. And then we get in trouble. Why it matters is that we are returning dominion. That's what prayer is all about. Jesus gave us this example. It's good to ask. He did ask, is it, if it's be possible, Lord, I don't want to really deal with this situation tomorrow. Anyone got some situations Tuesday? Not tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow you have a blessed Memorial Day. But Tuesday morning, some of us have to go in and deal with some situations, right? And some people and some things we would rather just not deal with. Right? Some things we don't want to deal with. What we have to say is, Lord, I don't want to deal with this, but nevertheless, Lord, if you're with me, if your kingdom is with me, you got to take your kingdom with you. You got to take your dominion with you. Amen. Psalms 115:16, you see, God's original plan, as I said, was the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. I want my inheritance back. Satan stole my inheritance. Did you know he had called us to be kings and priests? I want my inheritance back. I don't know about you. You know, if you found out that you had some rich uncle and he had left you $10 million and the state was about to take it, you're going to say, oh, well, let's let him take it. No, I think you'd all be lawyered up. You'd go down to that state house and you'd be saying, I want my inheritance. We got to do the same thing with Satan. He has stolen our kingdom inheritance. We want our kingdom now. Amen. I want my inheritance. Amen. So Jesus was trying to explain that if he wanted to fight, he could. In Matthew 26:53 says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now the whole Roman Empire only had about 12. He was saying, listen, I can have as much soldiers as the entire Roman Empire if I want to. If I want to, I could do that. But then how shall the scriptures be fulfilled? The Bible says he was obedient even to the death of the cross. Ooh, that's hard. Can we be obedient to the death of whatever cross we're carrying? Who likes carrying a cross? No. You see, I have this imagination that when I retire, everything's going to be just great. And there'll just be peace and light and I won't have to. But I know I'm deceiving myself. I know that there will be other things that will come up. Yes, I won't have to deal with that situation. But all of you who are retired, I know you're not just on cloud nine, are you? So in this world, we are going to have tribulation, but we can still have kingdom peace if we pray, thy kingdom come. Lord, come into my heart. Take away all of that angst and that anxiety. Amen. Jesus was at peace even though all around him was storm, right? There was storming all around him. And it comes down to faith. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. I said, that man was rich. He was very rich. And yet, all his life, he lived in a tent. You know what that tells me? He didn't claim that as where his final dwelling was. He knew his citizenship wasn't permanently there. Sometimes we put down too many roots. And we put down, invest in too many things. And Satan can grab hold of those things and shake us. Because we're holding on to it. You know, like the little kid, mine. Mine. You ever seen those little two-year-olds? They grab something, they say, mine. And they won't let it go. They won't let it go. We don't want to get into that kind of role where Satan can hold on to the other end of something and pull us. You see, we have got to be in the place where we are dead to this world. Where, as Paul said when he was on his last missionary journey, they're telling him all the bad things that were going to happen to him. When you go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest you. They're going to throw you in jail. They may even beat you. And you know what he says? Nothing moves me. I count it all but lost. Right? I count everything that is of this world to be nothing but dung, is what he said. So we have to be dead to this world, because you can kick a dead person, right? Dead person, you know you're not dead when you react. I'm not quite dead yet. There's probably some things you can say to me where I might react. Right? There might be some places where I'm not quite dead. So we have to go on to be truly dead to this world. And you being dead in your sins and in the incircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. God, through Jesus Christ, came to forgive us our trespasses. So he's not counting all our faults and failures if we let the word wash us. Amen? Blotting out the handwriting. I like that. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. See, that's why he came the first time. And then when he went down, he says, having spoiled, that means he shamed principalities and powers, all the demons and all the powers of hell. He made an open shame of them because there was not one thing they could do. There was not one thing they could do. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's why the devil is so mad, because he's been shamed. His Hollywood set has been ripped down and been shown to be a fake. And so now he's mad, and he wants to tear up the rest of the house. Amen. So we are coming up to the last battle that we're going to have to face. And the Bible says, he that what? Endureth to the end. Right? I was listening to someone last night. They were saying it's not about starting the race. It's how you finish. And they told this story of this this African runner. One year they had the Olympics in Mexico City. And Mexico City is at 7,000 feet elevation. That means it's harder. If you're not used to it, it's harder to breathe. And he wasn't used to it. He had been an Olympic champion. And he came to Mexico City. And he was running in the Olympics. And because of he had not adjusted to the altitude, he wasn't doing well. And then on top of that, as he was struggling, he fell down and he hurt himself. And of the race runners, he came in dead last. And he was struggling and fighting the whole way. And a reporter asked him, why didn't you just give up? And he said, well, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. God didn't bring you this far just to start the race. He didn't take you through this far just to start the race. He wants you to finish the race. Paul said, I've run a good race. I've kept the faith. I've run my race. And now there's laid up for me what? A crown of righteousness. So it's not about starting the race. I baptized so many people. And sometimes you say, where are they? Sometimes they only come for 2 or 3 weeks because they think that it's starting the race. They think it's all about, okay, if I go down in the magic water, that does it. No, that's just the beginning. You got to run this race with patience. Then the kingdom comes. But Jesus, having completed his job, he went down there and he made a mess of Satan. And he shamed him openly, triumphing over him. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he had to come, as I've shown, as flesh and blood. He also likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Amen. And Jesus, in this parable that I talked about last week, and I'm going to teach it again, gave a full example of what was going on. Let's read it very carefully. He said in Luke 19:12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's speaking really about his death. He went down to the grave to receive the kingdom of the grave, and then he's coming back, because that's not the end of it. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is John's revelation. He's got the vision, and he said unto me in his right hand, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, I don't really want to die just because of family. I'd hate to go and leave my family. But I'm not afraid of death per se, because I believe what I'm teaching you. I believe what I'm teaching you. Paul said, if I die, it's to be absent from the body, it's to be present. I tell you what, if it wasn't I had family and friends, boy, that'd be fine. That's a terrible thing to say. But you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about all the joys of heaven and what we have been promised by faith. Can you imagine being in heaven and knowing you have made it? You're done with this stuff. There's no more struggle. There's no more. You know, I better not think of that. I'll be smiling. I don't want to be. Jesus came to deliver us from the curse of the grave. Amen. And he told this parable, and he led then a victory parade to heaven. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it's really written in about three parts, the book of Revelation. The first eight chapters are talking about the atonement ceremony, the final atonement ceremony that's in heaven. Then the next section is going over what's going to happen during the tribulation. And then the last section is a recounting of what has already happened. If you read the instructions given to John, he says what will be shortly and what is going to happen. So in Revelation 18, it speaks about Babylon. And let's just read it. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, what is it speaking about when it says Babylon has fallen? Lots of people try and put it to the real city of Babylon, which has fallen. Some people I've heard Bible scholars put it down as, you know, some place in America, New York City, or, you know, when the planes hit the towers, they said that was Babylon falling, and some have said it's Washington, D.C. or wherever. But what I will tell you is this. Babylon, according to Scripture, is the headquarters of who? Satan, right? And where is his real headquarters? Where was he king of? Hell, right? So when it says Babylon has fallen, what it's really speaking about is the time when Jesus went down there and took it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. When did the church start? When Jesus died. That's what it's speaking about. And what it's saying is this. Babylon the Great is fallen and become the habitation of devils. Why? Because Jesus took all the righteous dead. So what's left? Devils and fallen spirits. You understand? That's what it's telling us. When it says Babylon has fallen and it's become, that means there is a change. The habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. The only thing down there now is demons and those who have rebelled against God. Jesus was bringing that forth. The kingdom first fell. The kingdom of Babylon was the first kingdom that God took back. The Bible tells us that the Babylon has fallen, past tense. Matthew 16:18, he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he was saying, thou art Peter, and Peter means Cephas, a stone. He's saying, you're a stone, but really he says, upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's what he's talking about. When he went down there, he led captivity captive. He released every righteous dead that had been waiting, because no sacrifice up to that point was good enough. But when Jesus' blood hit the earth, the Bible says what? The rocks rent and the graves were open. Amen. So Babylon has fallen, and now we're just waiting for this last kingdom of the earth to come under his rule. And it can't be soon enough. So the place that has fallen really is hell. That's what he came to destroy. When you die, if you are born of the water and born of the Spirit, you go straight to heaven. Did you know that? You go straight to heaven. Paul said so. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. It can't be clearer than that. Now, when my parents died, I was very sad, but I didn't weep as much as because I knew where they were going. I have no doubt where my parents are. None, not even the slightest little bit. And if it's up to me now whether I will see them again. Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. So when it says Babylon has fallen, it's speaking about hell. God has already taken that place back. There's only one kingdom left, this kingdom. That's why he's coming back again. Amen. So the city has fallen, but his king ran away. But his time is coming too. Here's when he rebelled, Isaiah 14:13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But verse 15 tells what his end's going to be. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There's coming a time when that slew-foot, two-horned devil is going to be bound, is going to be chained up. Amen. See, very shortly, and to be honest with you, I believe within our lifetimes, some stuff is going to happen. We've been missing all the signs already, because it is quite obvious when you look back at Scripture, the people on whom prophecy is being fulfilled, they never see it. We look back and we say, how could they not see that Jesus was being born? How could they not know? And yet if we had been there, we would have been missing it too. Similarly, there are prophecies right now that are being fulfilled, and most of everybody is missing it. Jesus said the wise virgins would also be asleep. It's time to wake up. Time to wake up. There's been things happening all this last 20 years that I don't know if you've noticed it. Starting in 2017, where all of those signs, astronomical signs, lined up as exactly in Revelation, where the constellation Virgo, which is the Virgin, lined up exactly as it prophesied in Revelation. That starting in 2014, you saw that all those blood moons lined up exactly on the feast days, four feast days in a row. And then this year, we saw that that final eclipse, which was 7 years from the first one, lined up on the very first day of the Jewish New Year. So we are in biblical fulfillment. Biblical fulfillment. I won't really tell you what I think. I'll just not say that. But we're not. I can't say that. Just watch out. You all know. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree blossom, you know that summer is nigh. You know that summer is nigh. But coming soon to an attraction near you, to a theater near you. Revelation 12:7. We know that the last 7 years that was prophesied by Daniel has been in suspension. God told Daniel, and he gave him a blueprint of the future of his whole plan. And he said it was going to take a total of 490 years. And he gave him precise little dates, very precise dates. He says the start of this 490 years will be when the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem. And in 446 BC, the command was given to rebuild Jerusalem. And he told him, he said, it's going to be 462 years from that point to the Messiah. And then he will be cut off. It's all there in Daniel chapter 9. You can go read it. And it was exactly 462 years till AD 31, till Jesus was crucified. Then he said the last 7 years, which is called by many names in the scripture, is called Jacob's trouble. And he outlines when that will start. And we're coming up to that time. Midway in that 7 year period is where Satan will be finally stopped from accusing us. Amen. And he will be confined to this planet. Let's read it. Revelation 12:7. We're talking about now, thy kingdom come. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole. That's why there's so much fake news around. People don't know what truth is anymore. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And it's at that point that we come to Revelation 12:10.
And I heard a loud voice saying, now has come salvation. It's when he comes down, we go up. Let me say it again. It's when he's cast out, we go up. You know why? Because the last 3.5 years is wrath upon the earth. The Bible says he hath not appointed us, his church, unto wrath. Yes, we go through some tribulation, but we're not going to experience the wrath of God, which is what is going to happen during the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period. The wrath of God is going to be poured out without measure. The Bible says there's going to be a time on earth such as never was. Now, I don't know how that could be. When we think of all the wars and all the tortures and all the Holocaust, the Bible says that there's going to be a time on earth worse than that. In fact, probably only 1/3 of the current population will make it through the whole 7 years. That means there's probably going to be about 4 to 5 billion people that are going to die in that 7 years. And one of the reasons is just because of this. Because he's thrown out and he comes down and he's mad. Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom, which is what we have to be praying for, of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Now Satan has access to God, but only on one aspect of it. That is on God's law. He says to God, you said this, this, and this, and they're breaking it. That's his only right to talk to God, is as an accuser. And you know what God says? Look back 2,000 years ago. Didn't I tell you? Paid in full. Telestai. It is finished. Paid in full. Come on now. You should be thanking God for that. He has made us blameless. Blameless. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Amen. That's what Romans. He has made us blameless. Because he has paid it in full. Even though he's accusing, there's no accusation that's going to stand. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You can't have a testimony without the test part. Let me say it again. You can't have the testimony without the test part. Otherwise, it's only money. You have to go through the test part. And you can say, listen, I came through that. With the Lord's help, he delivered me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't care about what people are saying about me. The only important thing is what he says about me. Right? Doesn't matter what other people say about me, as long as he says, you're my son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. That's the only person I need affirmation from. Verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I always liken to this to when, you know, somebody is getting evicted, you know, and the sheriff goes and they slap all the pieces of paper around the house. You know, eviction. And they get mad. And you know what they do? They tear up the house. They wreck the place. Because they know that on a certain date, the sheriff's coming, they're going to put everything outside. That's exactly what the devil is going to be happening. He knows he hath but a short time. And he's mad. He's going to try and tear up the place. Amen. But there is coming a day when all of that will be finished. Revelation 11:15. When the seventh angel sounds, there were great voices in heaven. I just want to point out to you that all of this was already modeled in the book of Joshua. All of Revelation is modeled in the book of Joshua when they took over Jericho. Remember what they did? They marched around 7 times and they were told to keep silent. Then on the last day they were to march 7 times round. And then they were to give a great shout. Then what happened? The wall fell down, and the Bible says they ascended. They went up. They went up. You see, that's the model that's going to happen. The kingdoms of this world, there's going to be a time when, just as Jesus told Pilate, now is not my kingdom. He was making a point. Now it's not my kingdom. It's going to be. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. You understand that this earth is on a lease, about a 6,000-year lease. It was leased to us, and the lease is about to come up. So when the lease is up, you know what happened? It goes back to the original owner. Amen. It goes back to the original owner. He's about to take back this kingdom. This final kingdom is going to be taken back. And the Bible says he's going to reign and rule. And the Bible also tells us if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Amen. You know, maybe you don't want Milwaukee to be your place of reigning. I think I'd like somewhere nice, a little island somewhere, Lord, if you could give me that, with a beach. I don't know where we're going to reign, but we are going to reign and rule with him. I'm almost finished. So now, how does this process go? Amen. 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 That's exactly what's going to happen. Amen. That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. When he comes back, he's going to take back the kingdom. Now, I'm going to tell you the process. It first starts this way. The first people who experienced the kingdom, the Bible says, are those that have already died. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that have been beheaded. Some people have suffered for being a Christian. You know, we complain about suffering, but we haven't really suffered yet. You know, somebody said something hard to us, and we call that suffering. Or some circumstance, and we call that suffering. But some people have actually given their lives. That's real suffering. And so because of that, they get to be the first that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark, and therefore it. And they lived, that means they were resurrected, and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. It goes on to say, blessed is he that hath part in what? Upon him the second death hath no power. We have to be in the first resurrection. We don't want to be in that second resurrection. You know, I've had to do funerals for people I don't really know their background. I don't know their history. And the only thing I can tell them is that at the second resurrection, the Bible does speak that the books were open, and another book, which is the book of life. But you see, that way you have to be judged according to what you did. Now you can be judged according to what he did. I don't want to be judged according to my book, because my book's got some sad chapters in it, some failures in it. But I don't have to be judged now by my book. I can use his book. I can use his book. Doesn't matter what we have done, if we have his book, his story, that's what I want, his story to be given. Amen. We don't want to be in the second resurrection, because I don't think I'm good enough on my own merit to qualify. You know, I can look back and some things I don't even want to really think about, but God's mercy and his grace and his love. Amen. Amen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Here is the promise. But they, that's you, shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Nobody knows your name, right? None of us in here are rich and famous, right? You're not going to be on the news as some celebrity. But guess what? Where your name has been called. Guess where your name has been called. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I'm going to confess you before the angels. There's some angels that know your name. There's some angels that know what you've been through. Sometimes God is having a conversation just like he did with Job, and he says, has thou considered my servant? Just pencil your name in. He's having a little talk, and he said, look at how they're going through some stuff and they still have not given up. They're still fighting. They've gone through some stuff, but they haven't given up. They still believe, even though they don't see anything yet. They still have faith. Your name has been dropped in not just a palace or the White House, but it's been dropped in heaven. If you could stand with me. Finally, the kingdom comes to earth. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's all it will take, my brother, just one word. That's all it will take. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And I saw, this is our hope, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Remember what I said? No more tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because he said, every tree that's not been planted by me is going to be plucked up. And you know this is a supernatural, spiritual tree because it bears 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Finally, the promise he made to Abraham way back that there would be a remnant of the seed of Abraham happens to Israel. At some point, and you can see all of this starting to happen. You can see all of this happen. Israel is going out on a limb and getting hated and hated more and more. And you watch and see what's going to happen. Finally, the Bible says when you see Israel surrounded, it's at that point that they're going to recognize who their Messiah was. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, unmerited favor, and of supplications. Who is this speaking? And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, who they crucified. And then they shall realize who it was that they crucified 2,000 years ago. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for their only son. See, Israel could have been delivered, but the Bible says that God allowed them to be blinded so that us Gentiles could come to truth. Could come to truth. And then finally, of course, he gets locked up. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. You know, it's been taken away from him, remember? And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. So then finally that prayer is answered as it is in heaven. Let thy will be done on earth. We're here today and we are the instruments to let that kingdom come. We've been told that's what we should pray for. You know, maybe instead of praying for a new car and for this and for that, we should say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Imagine if we changed our prayer to pray for something he wants instead of what we want. Let your kingdom come. Let it start with me. Let your kingdom come into my heart that I can deal with what I have to deal with. Because that's what he told us we should pray for. That was before give me daily bread, wasn't it? That was further down. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Then further down it says, give us this day our daily bread. But first, we are supposed to pray that His kingdom comes. Maybe that's why we don't have so much peace, why we're so in anxiety and in fear, because we're praying for the bread instead of for His kingdom to come. Amen. We're going to close this service. I hope you've been blessed this month with this topic, Thy Kingdom Come. I want this week when we go back to work or wherever you go, make that your first prayer. Lord, let Your kingdom come. Let's actually do what He told us to do. Let make that be the first prayer we pray. Lord, let Thy kingdom come. Let it start in me. Let it start with my family. Let it start in my situation. Because if His kingdom comes, then we will have dominion. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, Lord, we just thank You right now for Your presence and anointing. Lord, please let Your kingdom come. Let it start with me, oh God. Change me. Make me, Lord God, Your servant, Lord Jesus. Help me to be different, Lord God. Help me to be Your representative. Let Your kingdom of peace and love start with me, Lord God. We thank You right now for all You're doing in our church, Lord. Touch every heart that's here. Bless our service that's to come, Lord. Let there be an anointing and a breakthrough. We lift up Your name and we give You all of the praise, all of the glory in Jesus' name. If you could raise your hands and let's give God a praise offering right now. Hallelujah.